got a troubled mind. Wash it out and hang it up on a clothing line, and the sun will shine. All the worries gonna leave my troubled mind. I've got a broken thing.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Biotech Facts and Fallacies podcast. I'm your host, Cameron English. I think most people see cutting pesticides as a good thing, whether you're a consumer or an environmentalist or a scientist or a farmer. Everybody wants fewer chemicals used in agriculture. And there's been a number of technologies developed to make this a reality. And one company in particular called BVT has developed a series of products that actually allow bees to spread totally natural compounds that serve as insecticides. And so as the bees leave their hive, they go out and pollinate the crops, and they leave this organic product that we're going to talk about on the crops and then come back to the hive. To tell us more about it is company CEO Ashish Malik. He's been in the crop protection industry for many years. He's worked for Bayer and Syngenta, among some others. And he's going to answer some questions about this technology, how it works, how has the EPA responded to it, how are consumers responding to it, and just how big of an impact is it going to have? So thank you so much for listening. Here we go. All right, Ashish, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Cameron.
So before we get into talking about the technology that your company is developing, give us a little background on BVT. I know you guys have been around for about 20 years, and you've been testing your product since about 2006, if I'm not mistaken. So give us some background. What are you guys trying to do?
Yeah, it's actually the company is a little bit newer than that. Some of the ideas behind the technology have been around for about 20 years, but BVT as a company got set up in 2012. So the last 5 or 6 years, we've been developing the tool that we're trying to bring to market. We're just about ready to bring to market. And what we're actually all about is developing a disruptive crop productivity tool. Farmers today, whether here in the U.S. or pretty much anywhere around the world, are used to spraying different crop protection agents onto their crops. And we've developed a new technology, a new system, whereby managed pollinator hives can actually deliver biological control agents to crops, helping them fight different diseases and pests that they may face. So it's, on the one hand, an alternative to using chemicals, since we are delivering biological control agents. And on the other hand, it's also an alternative to spraying. And spraying is actually a very inefficient way to deliver crop protection agents. And we used an all-natural system where bees deliver or can deliver products from hives to flowers.
So tell us a little more about the product itself. So if I understand correctly, the bees actually pick it up as they leave the hive and go about their business. Is that right?
Yeah, so there's two different aspects to our technology. One is the biological control agent itself. So this is a beneficial fungus. It's a microorganism that we first isolated from nature and now are producing on a commercial scale. So that's the product that once it's on the plant is actually creating a beneficial relationship to help the plant fight these pests. So that's one aspect of the technology. The other aspect of our technology is the actual delivery mechanism. So we have engineered systems that work with bumblebee hives as well as with honeybee hives, that the biological control agent actually can be, the bees as they're leaving the hive, it kind of coats their legs and the lower parts of their body. And as they fly to the crop, they carry the beneficial organism with them. And as they reach the flower, which is their destination because that's their food source, then that the biological agent actually gets delivered from or gets removed from the bee's body into the flower. It colonizes the flower and it protects the crop. So it's really, you have to think about our system as being the biological control agent on the one side, and then on the other side, it's the actual bee delivery solutions that we have, the dispensers.
Yeah, it's very, very ingenious technology. I read on, I believe it was Fast Company reported about a week ago in early September that you guys believe you can reduce pesticide spraying by 50 to 75% on farms that widely adopt this new technology. Is that a fair assessment of what you think can happen?
Yes, for sure. The data that we've we've actually been, so you asked what have we been doing for the last 5 or 6 years, but what we've been actually doing is a number of field studies, right? So we've been doing field studies on strawberries, on blueberries, on sunflowers, on tomatoes, and some of the data that we've got, particularly in strawberries, it's probably where we have the most data, suggests that a farmer, so if you're an organic farmer, you're not spraying chemicals anyhow, right? But what they have is they don't have any tools to help fight different diseases. So we are a great fit for organic agriculture because they can actually fight gray mold, botrytis, which is a pathogen that can actually rob their crop of significant yield. But when you go to conventional strawberry production, what we've actually shown is that they can reduce the amount of chemical fungicide sprays by 50%, and we believe that as we fine-tune the kind of spray recommendations, that number can go increase even further. We believe that we can actually reduce by up to 75% the amount of chemical fungicides that are used on strawberries.
Wow, very impressive. So what's the reaction? I know the product's not quite available yet, but what has the reaction been from the agricultural community? Are people excited about this? Do they have questions? I mean, what sort of feedback are you getting at this point?
They're very excited. So everybody in agriculture understands the importance of bees. So immediately it kind of makes sense, right? They're, you know, bees are being are responsible for about one third of what we eat. The crops, they pollinate the crops that represent one third of our diet. And everybody knows how important they are. You know, obviously a lot of the growers rely on bees. Some of them actually rent beehives to improve the pollination of their crops. So they understand the values that particular service brings them. So for them, the natural extension, if the bees can actually be used to also deliver a biological treatment, makes sense immediately. So then the question, so they're immediately intrigued, right? So we've got very positive response from every grower that we've engaged with. The question, of course, then quickly goes to how does it work? How do we make sure that it's a reliable treatment? How do we make sure that the bees are delivering the biological treatment adequately dispersed across my field? So those are the kinds of questions that we then have to address and answer to kind of win the growers over.
So are you doing the field research right now to answer those questions, or do you have the data already?
Both. So we have it on certain crops, and then, you know, we've obviously got a whole pipeline of crops that we want to develop the system for. And we are launching in strawberries. I mentioned that's where we have the most data in southeastern U.S., so primarily focused on Florida. We have a lot of data on blueberries, so that's the next crop that we'll be launching with in the southeast again when the season. The season in blueberries starts about February or March, so that'll be 2020. And then a big opportunity for us is in sunflowers in the Midwest, and that's where we are doing a third year of trials this summer. We'll be getting the results in the next month, and we hope to have the data we need to launch next summer.
Wow, very cool. So if I can ask, what's the process like to get EPA approval? Because I believe the agency just approved this chemical compound you're talking about that the bees actually deliver. So what's that process like? And I ask because there's a lot of misinformation about how the EPA works, how they approve pesticides on both sides, I think, in terms of like arguing about the effects of pesticides. I think both sides of the debate really misunderstand what happens. So tell us a little bit about that if you can.
Sure. So I'll do my best to try to interpret a law. It's a FIFRA law, Federal Insecticide and Fungicide Rodenticide Act, which is enacted by U.S. Congress many, many years ago. But what the EPA does is actually review pesticides to meet that the law that Congress had passed, the FIFRA law. And what they're effectively looking at is whatever the pesticide might be, whether it's a chemical or a biological. They look at it from very different lenses. They look at it from a human safety element. They look at it from an environmental safety element, including fish and wildlife and birds. They'll look at it from a plant safety. Is it something that actually can have a phytotoxic effect on the plant, on the crop, or not? They'll look at it from a human consumption. So for any residues that the crop may have with that, you know, pesticide, whether it's chemical or biological, is that something us as consumers of the produce should be concerned with? And of course, worker safety, the people that are working on the farm. So as a registrant, we have to generate data based on pre-described study requirements to help the scientists at the EPA make an assessment on the risk of this product, okay? And what's required from a registrant is different if it's a chemical pesticide that you're trying to get registered or a biological. And in many cases, biologicals, because they are reduced risk or low risk products, if we do first, it's a tiered study. So if you do the first tier study and it shows that the product is clean, then you don't have to do subsequent tier more involved studies. And so you go through this series of studies, you submit the data to the EPA, you sit down with their scientists and answer any questions that they have. The whole process can take, you know, 2 years. But at the end of it, you will either get a favorable decision or a denial or a request for additional data. So it's a pretty lengthy process, but it is, you know, a very scientific process. And, you know, I think us as consumers should feel pretty good about the outcomes that the EPA has after that process.
Well, speaking of consumers, have you guys gotten any feedback from the public? Have you heard from environmental groups that monitor the effects of pesticides? Because I've talked to other academics and other people in industry who have had a lot of trouble trying to accurately communicate how their product works and how safe it is, just because of the nature of social media and, you know, the things that can spread on the internet so quickly. So have you guys dealt with that at all?
Not yet. I think all the different stakeholders that we have engaged with totally understand what it is that we're trying to do and like the technology. They understand that, you know, bees in general, and everybody should be concerned about potential colony collapse issues. And they see this technology as being a benefit to pollinators. Not only are you, you know, you're actually delivering a product that reduces the amount of chemicals, and of course chemicals on the crop, and of course chemicals have been associated as one of the contributors to colony collapse disorder. So this is a system that everybody understands could actually benefit the environment as a whole. So then the question often revolves again to, you know, the science and how does it actually work and how do you make sure that you're getting an adequate, you know, dispersion on the crop and, you know, the effectiveness of the technology. That's what they automatically go to. But all the discussions with the stakeholders thus far have been very favorable. I expect that as we, you know, commercialize the system, that we will be talking with more and more stakeholders, but I also expect that it'll be a very positive dialogue.
Well, that's encouraging. You know, so many times that's not the way it goes. So good. It sounds like you've navigated that really well. On an international scale, I know you guys want to expand beyond just the U.S. Are you confident that other regulatory agencies are going to approve the technology the way the EPA seems to be approving of it so far?
Yeah, we do. You know, one of the interesting things and one of the learning points with the EPA was this was the first product that was approved by the EPA for delivery using bees. Okay, so we were really, you know, blazing new trails here. And as trailblazers, we had to actually educate the agency about how the technology works because the scientists had never really seen this kind of a dossier from a registrant before. So I expect that some of those, and you know, the great thing is that the discussions with the EPA, there was a high degree of transparency, and you know, we had scientists from our end talking to scientists at their end, so the level of communication was quite good. We expect that we will have to have similar conversations with other regulatory agencies, just because they also wouldn't have seen a registration such as this. But at the end of the day, I think science prevails. Everybody will understand how the system works. They will look at the data set that we have to show that Clonostachys, that's our microbial product, is totally safe, also for the bees. So we expect at the end that the outcome will be favorable as well with the other agencies. And, you know, one of the things that actually, I mean, everybody understands that the EPA is a model agency, you know, so other than the European Union, most other countries around the world would look at, you know, either they look at either the European Union and what they do or what the US EPA does as an endorsement already. And it kind of, you know, helps them advance in those in their discussions.
Yeah, you anticipated me. That was my next question, is whether they would look at precedent or if they would just do completely original reviews. So it sounds like they're going to do both. They're going to look at what the EPA said, and then they're going to have their own scientists look at this. That's a fair assessment, you think?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So in a more general sense, and we can wrap up pretty quick here, do you see the technology that you guys are developing as part of a trend away from synthetic pesticides and you know, an older way of farming, I guess I should say?
So for sure. But, you know, what I can just highlight for folks is that the trend away from chemicals started about 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, nobody wants farmers to use the amount of chemicals that they have historically used on their crops. But what's happened is that And you can actually think about the trends in organic crops to be kind of consistent with that trend, right? So people are buying organic because they don't want chemicals on their crops. And you can see the growth rate that organic food has had in the last decade. What I would say is what's changed in the last 10 years is the science and the understanding of how these beneficial microorganisms or plant extracts actually work is advanced tremendously. So the consistency of the performance of these products on a farm, you know, understanding where the lines might be drawn in terms of, you know, human safety, because if there are lines, that needs to be understood, right? And generally the development of more efficacious products for the for farm of the future, all driven from the genetics and the understanding, the omics, and all the tools that the scientists have now, have really made these biological products mainstream. Okay, and that's really exciting, because what that means now is that these products can be used not only in very high value niche type crops, but in everyday crops, right? And you know, whether it's fruit and vegetables, or whether it's corn and beans, or whether it's cereals and bananas in Central America, all these crops now have biologicals that are being used to help them grow and help them grow better. And that's kind of exciting. So whether they can be viewed as direct substitutes to chemicals or as complementary products, because you can get additional yield and get additional economic benefits from their use in conjunction in a combined spray program, perhaps with lower risk chemicals, for sure these products are you know, at a point where we're actually seeing a reduction in the use of older synthetic chemistry.
Yeah, and that prompts another question, actually. I had another scientist on the podcast a little while ago, and she works for a biologicals company here in California, just down the road in Davis. And she was saying that one of the benefits of the products they develop is that they have so many unique modes of action that they're a great way to combat the resistance issues that are showing up with some of these other insecticides and herbicides. Do you have any thoughts on that as it relates to your product? Is that
I probably know who you're talking to, spoken to, but you know. So when biologicals started being used 10, 15 years ago, people actually thought about them strictly from a residue reduction perspective, right? So biological products typically are exempt from residue tolerances, from MRL. And so they kind of started getting pigeonholed into the last few sprays on a crop, right? So that the farmer can then say that I have less residues on the crop that they're harvesting. And that was kind of the first niche that these products went into. But then people started understanding that there's all these other benefits of the technology as well. So you're talking about resistance management. So oftentimes biological products have a mode of action that makes it very hard for a pathogen or pest to overcome and develop resistance against them, because they have multiple modes of action. So they are great tools to help break up resistance of other products, So they're, you know, but now the benefits extend even beyond that. You know, they are just absolutely helping the plant grow better. So you can, you and I are now being, you know, told by our healthcare providers that we should be taking probiotics, healthier gut. Well, what are probiotics? Probiotics are biologicals, right? So if they're beneficial for us as humans, why shouldn't they have the same effect on plants? And they do have the same effect on plants. So now people are using biologicals as biostimulants and plant health products, as well as to help them fight diseases. So the future is very bright for biologicals.
Yeah, very fascinating. So, I mean, it sounds like this is really going to blow up and present some real serious competition for the synthetic manufacturers. Is that what you see happening in the next, say, I don't know, 10 years?
So the last 5 to 10 years, the use of biologicals around the world has already been increasing at about 14-15% per year, whereas the use of chemicals has been somewhat flat or maybe increasing by 1 or 2%. So automatically, the biologicals are taking share away from chemicals, and that trend is expected to continue at least for the foreseeable future, and certainly for the next 5 or 10 years. And I told you already some of the reasons why, because these products are now becoming more and more well understood. The science behind them is more solid. So a farmer can then, with confidence, use them and get an expected result that they want.
Very good. And I probably should have asked you this from the outset, but this product that we're talking about that you guys are producing, it's non-toxic for the most part. It doesn't harm the bees. It doesn't harm beneficial insects or pollinators. It just does what it's supposed to do. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. The product that we've just got registration for is a ubiquitous, a beneficial fungus that you'll find in the soil. Species is Clonostachys rosea. We find it everywhere. The particular strain that we've developed happened to have been isolated from a wheat orchard, a wheat field in Ontario, in Canada. It's totally safe. Yeah, you and I could eat it all day long if we wanted to. And we've shown it to be safe to the bees themselves and, the environment in general. But the great thing about it is when you introduce it on a crop, it actually kind of colonizes the crop and the plant tissue of the crop. And by doing that, it actually eliminates the opportunity for a pathogen to colonize. So it has a mode of action that we call competitive displacement. So if you think about me sitting in my chair in my office here, I'm sitting in this chair, I've occupied it. Well, the pathogen, the disease, can't come and occupy that same plant tissue. And by doing so, it's actually helping the crop fight that the disease. So that's the mode of action.
Wow. Well, maybe I'm kind of a geek, but this is really exciting. This is a whole new way of doing things. So good for you guys. If people want to learn more about what you're doing, where's the best place to send them?
So the easiest place to go is our website, www.deevt.com. There's a cool video about how the system actually works, the dispensing system. And then, of course, there's a few articles, and we've got a lot of good media coverage, and there's some links to those additional media coverage as well on our website.
All right. Well, we will put that on the show notes page. And Ashish, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy day. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cameron. Take care.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. We will see you next time. As always, I want to remind you to check us out on iTunes and Spotify, and check out the podcast at geneticliteracyproject.org.